And that is a matter of fact. It's in line with scriptures. So when we're talking about destiny, therefore, speaking words, the law of personal control is not just to say things about your destiny. You will say things about your habits. You will say things about your actions. You will say things about your thoughts. And you will say things even about your words. It's an interesting cycle which you can generate, all right? Now, go to chapter 3, the book of James. He said, let not many of you, verse 1, become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as much that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment, that is those who are teaching. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bit into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Remember, law of personal control. Now, verse 3. We put bits into the horse's mouth, and as a result, they obey us. We direct their entire body. Behold, sheep also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder or steering. All right? Wherever the inclination of the pilot or driver desires. I'm trying to make it real for our everyday lives. It says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. That is, there are great things that it has accomplished, great things that are ascribed to its actions. He said, behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set amongst our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Now, listen to this. Okay, if you read further down, I don't want, because of time, we talk about the fact that the tongue has been very difficult to tame. He said, with it we bless our Lord and Father, that's verse 9, and we also curse men. He said, these things should not be, that the same fountain should send forth both blessing and cursing. Now, what I want to bring out here, we talk about the law of personal control. Okay, please bear that in mind. But just don't forget what we read here before you move to another one. That's another scripture we're going to read in a moment. Bear this in mind, that he's saying that the tongue is like the steering. It controls the whole body. It controls the whole direction of the life. You understand what I'm saying? That the direction the life is going is controlled by the words. It's controlled by the tongue. The way the body behaves, it says, is controlled by the tongue. Please bear that in mind, and you can keep something there. Let's go over to another one, the book of Joshua chapter 1, one of the first scriptures I learned as a young believer. It was the Lord speaking to Joshua after he took over from Moses. Now, he says from verse 1, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to you, to the sons of Israel. He said in verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. And then in verse 5, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, to the right, or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. That is, in your habits, in your actions, make sure that you are centered upon the law that Moses gave to you. And that way you will have success in whatever you do. Verse 8 now says, this book of the law shall not. That is, this book, this law that you are supposed to obey. This is the first step to obedience. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, please notice something here. He said that if you are going to have success, it will be because you are careful to obey everything that is written inside the book. Success is not by praying. Amen? Amen. It's not by wishing. Amen? Amen? It's by obedience to the laws of God. Are you getting my point? You know, I talked before about what I call wisdom for salvation. Paul said, from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. That is success, that salvation there, it comes from wisdom. In fact, if you have a side note in that Joshua chapter 7, it says that, in verse 8, it says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. The alternative rendering in my own Bible here is that, and you will act with wisdom, or you will act wisely. Are you getting my point? That is, you see, wisdom comes, is tied, success is tied to acting with wisdom. Are you getting me? Now, so the Bible says, therefore, God was speaking to Moses, that success is not because I wished for it, though it's good to wish and desire it. Success is not because I just prayed for it, though that's the first step, actually, to ask God who gives success for wisdom. He said, but real success begins to manifest in reality when we begin to walk according to certain orders. Are you getting my point? And that's the way it is. If you talk to people, listen to how they have run their businesses and all of that. In fact, you know, my wife and I were gisting a few days ago about some issues. That, look, this particular enterprise, this is why it has remained at this level. You hear the thoughts of those who were running it. They are running it this way, and that's why it has not gone beyond that level. You understand? So what God gives you is wisdom. Now, please bear that in mind. But so for Joshua now, the wisdom was centered on the word of God. The same thing with you, the same thing with me as believers in Christ Jesus. Our wisdom is centered on what? The word of God. And Joshua was being told here that if he wants to succeed in life, it will be because he's walking according to the wisdom of God, which is the word of God, which in his own case is were the laws that Moses gave to him. But that's not our main gist. Our main gist is on the laws of confessions. So I'm talking about the law of personal control. How was he going to control his body? How was he going to ensure that he obeyed the law in his actions? All right? Because as you obey that law, as you obey the word, as you comply with that wisdom, and this is the thing about it, those things don't come naturally. You know, I keep on saying it. God does not command you to do that which you have done naturally. Do you understand what I'm going to say? So if they say, husbands, love your wives, then you can be sure of one thing. A wife is going to wake up one morning and decide that she's going to ensure that she's unlovable. You hear my point? Have you ever seen the Bible say, men, love the fine girls you see? He knows they will love the fine girls when they see it. It is natural. It is keep your eyes away. That's the one the Bible says. Is it not true? Am I lying? Uh-huh. So when they say, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, get ready. Praise the Lord. The only one guy here saying hallelujah. Very odd. The other guy said, what is he talking about? Right now, I'm just in love. Praise God. And it's a husband's love. It's a commandment. Their wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. You know what it means? Bros is going to ask foolishly twice just to prove to you that you shouldn't follow him. Amen? That's the word of God. What comes naturally, God doesn't command about it. Anytime you hear a commandment, that's the opposite is what comes naturally. Thou shalt remember. That means the natural thing is what? Forget. So God had to give them laws on how to remember. What am I saying? The laws of God are those ones that don't come naturally, but which you must do. I'm saying you have to train yourself. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is, the fear of God is not natural. You have to be taught. You have to be trained. You have to be restricted and given boundaries to follow it. So the commandments that Moses gave them, they were not going to do it naturally. The bodies wouldn't cooperate. If they say, appear before the presence of God three times a year, they'll be busy. They will have business meetings. They will have places to go. That's what will happen. But God gave them those commandments. And listen to this. The real thing that's the ultimate of obedience to God, how do I say it? It's difficult by yourself to do them. So what God does is to give you small things, which are also commandments, which are also instructions, but are easy to obey. So let's go back to it. So there are things in this law that Joshua wouldn't obey naturally. So God said, let me give you another smaller and easier commandment. This one is not producing success for you, but it helps you do the things that will produce success. He said, this book of the law shall not depart, what? From your mouth. But you shall meditate. Let's define the word meditate again. The literal Hebrew, meditate. What he said literally is, you shall mutter in it day and night. Meditate in the Bible is not cross your leg. You know, ekanka. That's not Bible meditation. No. That's ekanka. That is yoga. When the Bible says, uses the word meditation here, thou shalt meditate, it means thou shalt what? Talk. Therein, day and night. Thou shalt not fill your head with all the commentaries on home movies and who's marrying who in Hollywood. And becomes a discussion of every day when you gather. Have you heard? Brad Pitt have now married Brad Gutter or whatever. Angelina Jolie has now done a new movie. Oh boy, you don't watch now. That was how many days in Hollywood day and night. That's what you obey. Until that has made thy way corrupted. Do you get my point? The discussion, that's what he's talking about. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It shall be the center, the focus of your personal talk all the time. That's an easier one to obey than the details of the law. Now listen to this. We're talking about law of what? Personal control. The laws of confession. This is the law of personal control. This is what it does. You take care of the tongue, James said. Then every other thing follows. So when your wife has anointed you, just say, one day I'm going to slap you. If you say it like that, you know what's going to happen? One day, it's not as if, hey, I didn't know when I did it. No. Yes, you are right. You didn't know. But you said it like 6 years ago. And it is unto you according to your words. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let me tell you how to handle this. God have mercy on you. It's God that will prevent me from killing you. Is that not good? That's not bad talk. That's good talk. Because Jesus is Lord of my life. Were it not for him? Oh God, Father, I thank you because you are preventing me from injuring somebody. It's good. Thou shalt meditate. That's a better way to get angry. Instead of saying, God will punish you. He said, no. May God have mercy on you. This is your wickedness. May God remove it from your heart. In the name of Jesus. You know, it's anger with prayer. Even that, there's no devil that can use it wrongly. Carry the words. What would you say he said? He said, may God have mercy. May God prevent you from continuing wickedness. Is that not good? Whether I say it nicely or with vexation, prayer not prayer. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The law of personal control. This is how it works. We're talking about the laws of confessions. I just take control of the tongue. That's what James said. Then I set every other thing in line. I set every other thing in the correct direction. That's how I steer my body. I tell you what to like and what not to like. You know, listen, what God does for you is, that's why don't justify bad things. Don't make excuse for evil. You understand? So if, look, listen. Oh, later on we'll talk about maybe on Saturday when I continue talking about the circumcision of Moses' son. All right, because you see, one of the ways God tests you is not just what you do; it's what you say about what somebody else did. Because the Bible says that God punishes not only those who do them, but those who take pleasure in those who do them. God can wake up one day and say, "Well, he wasn't sleeping," but he will arise one day, and that's a good word, and say, "Okay, let me judge this whole nation." For homosexuality as an example. Maybe it goes somewhere in Europe, all right? Not Nigeria, amen? And it begins to kill both the one who did it and the one who didn't do anything. And you know, I say, why are you killing that one? He said, come, let me play for you what he said. He said, no, me, I thank God because I'm a heterosexual. But I think there should be freedom in this country. And there is nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's the way you were born. Because you see, there's no difference between him and the homosexual, they are the same thing. I'm serious. That's how God judges. I told you about one pastor somebody told me about. Young lady went to him for counseling. Now, assuming he's a Christian, assuming he married a believer, but he told the young woman that even if he's not a Christian, it does not matter as long as he's nice. God says he has married an unbeliever. Forget the fact that he's already married. The counsel from his mouth In fact, James said it clearly. He's a teacher. He has instructed people to disobey God. Judgment. I'm not talking about controlling the tongue. It's not just what you do. It's the kind of comments you pass about what somebody else is doing. Listen. One day I was with one preacher where somewhere said, look, he doesn't blame any pastor that eats church money in a particular denomination, that they are poorly paid. And one man who was there said, if they are poorly paid, they don't like the job, they should go now. He was not in that denomination. I went to preach somewhere. That was Nonicha. So after the meeting, after the meeting. So I sat with a lot of ministers. He's a young minister running his own ministry. So it was a special program in the big church. So the vicar of the church was there. The person who invited me was there. And this minister was also there. They were just chatting, chatting away. That doesn't blame anyone that's eating church money because the pay is poor. So the other one said, well, if they don't like it. Now, he's one of them. But he said, well, don't come here with that kind of confession. That's what I'm saying now. You don't say such things. You don't. If it's paining you, you can say things like, it's a lot of temptation. No? I think we should do something so that brethren don't fall for temptation. Is that not better? Say, I don't blame you. If you want to work church money, you're not well paid, work it. Your tongue is telling yourself, the only reason why I'm not working money is because I'm well paid. And this, my own ministry does not pay me well, I work the money. The day you will work money, it will have nothing to do. That is, you will not be able to control yourself. Because you have told your body long ago that the working of money is appropriate once the pay is not good. You see what I'm saying? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What it was telling Joshua is that you train your tongue. That's the easy part of it. Because it doesn't cost anything. You do it when you are free. You're not under pressure. You wake up in the morning and you are talking. You are just talking. You are training yourself in the word of God. That's what we're talking about. That is, you are training your body. Not by trying to exercise your body to do something. No. By making sure your mouth says what is right all the time. That one controls your body when the time comes to take action. The illustration I like to use is in the army. In the army, anytime you see a superior officer, you must jerk. So even if you are sitting down, you go into spasm. When I was serving that, I served in the Nigerian Army, my youth service, 3rd Mechanized Battalion. So one of my colleagues was saying, that, am I planning to join the army? What do I think? Will I join the army when I finish youth service? I looked at him, I said, so I go into spasm every time I see a superior officer. That was the joke. I said, I'm not going to spasm every time I see a superior officer. I said, when I finish youth service, I'm going away. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You know why you have to go into spasm every time you see a superior officer? Because one day the superior officer is going to give you an instruction under fire. Enemy is firing. And he says, move. If you are not used to jerking when he says move, when he appears in his presence, next time he says move under fire, you will say, okay. You know they hear the bullet. Sounds as if they fly past. You say, move now. In America, with all their licentiousness, in any part of the world, no matter how liberal they are, that liberality stops at the door of the barracks. Once you enter into the barracks, others is others, like they say in Nigeria. Others is others. When you see a guy, it's yes, sir. We're still watching one film in my house the other day. You see, young officer will still tell the senior permission to speak, sir. If the man doesn't give the permission, you don't say anything. I was reading the Red Prince just now, like I told you. You know, it was a corporal. Before he became a corporal in the army during the Second World War. So one day, a captain saw him and said, hey, cook, how are you doing? He thought he was a cook. He didn't know he trained him to serve in the medical side. He said, you don't argue with the officer. He called you a cook, you're a cook. They are not allowed to correct him. So he told him, yes, sir. It's going on fine, sir. So next day, they promoted him as corporal cook. Because the officer thought he was a cook. Next day, he was promoted. He became a corporal. So with all the looseness aside, when they enter into the military, everybody knows their behavior. When you see the boss, you still stiffen, yes, sir, mon, sir. Everything is still sir. When you walk into the office, maybe Sergeant Banky reporting as requested, sir, and you stand there. You don't remind the man, Sergeant is still waiting, sir. Now allow. Why? Because when right now it's a small thing, just about greeting, when to talk, when not to talk. When the real training will manifest, at that time, it's RPGs that are firing. Boom! And the guy says, we are taking that fort. The first thing that comes to your mind is that they are shooting there. But your body can't even think that. It has been trained over time to say, yes, sir. And listen, this happens literally. You understand? I was reading a book by R.B. Thiem. He was talking about keeping the standard up. But there's one very famous flag, you know, a flag being raised. After they took a particular area, they described it. The man was giving names of soldiers who died before those ones raised the flag. Firing is going to ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. A soldier will fall like this. The next one reflexively takes his flag up and stands again. They cut him down. The next one, they don't think of running. Next one picks the flag and they are cutting them and they are not running. Because the body has been trained by simple things as yes, sir. Yes, sir. 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 That one has trained the body. So right now, they are not reasoning anymore. The body has been trained to obey instructions by simple things like stand attention. Yes, sir. Ease. As you were. You know, simple things like that. That's how the tongue is. The tongue trains the body constantly. The law of personal control is what I'm talking about. The number one place you control yourself is by the things you say. It's conditioning your system. So he said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I am not saying thou shalt memorize it. He said, no, thou shalt just talk about it. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying thou shalt try and see how you can obey it. No. Obedience is natural if the word is always on your mouth, on your tongue. If the word is always in your mouth, you will obey it. Obedience comes upon you. He said, the Spirit entered into me and set me into obedience. He said, stand that I may speak to you. When he said that the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. So it is what I am interacting with all the time. It's not like at the time, say, should I obey? Should I not obey? If you are still thinking it, you have disobeyed already. The body must have been conditioned long beforehand. And how do we condition it? James said, the mouth. We condition the mouth, we condition the whole body. That's what you just read from James. And how do we condition the mouth? The Lord said directly to Joshua, it is by what you keep on the tongue all the time. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt talk about it day and night. Thou shalt meditate, means thou shalt mutter. When you are musing, when you are thinking, when you are discussing, that must be the thing that is in the center of your thought. Let's read this so we can close. I'm already overshooting because I had a bit late. It's my favorite. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm reading from the Amplified. Let me first read from the New American Standard, which I've been reading. From verse 4, where I'm going is verse 6, actually. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words, notice verse 6, which I'm commanding you today, shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now let's read that from the Amplified. I'll go quickly to verse 6. Amplified. Okay, let me start from verse 5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart, and with your entire being, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then, now notice, it shall be first in your own minds and heart. That is, you must have put them in there. Then you will put them in the hearts, the heart and mind of your children. And this is how you will do it. And you shall whet, verse 7, and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate. How do you do that? You shall teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. This is the breakdown. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house. You shall talk of them when you walk by the way. And you shall talk of them when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, that is, forehead bands between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, I like this amplified because it shows us the process of wetting, to wet, you know, to grind at the edge and sharpen. That's what it's talking about. You know, when you, maybe your knife is, you know, is blunt, so you go and have it sharpened. You understand? They wet the edge. That's what it's talking about. Shall wet and sharpen them. And he said, that's make them pointed. How do you do it? By constantly. That's what the point I'm trying to talk about. He said, this is the process of making them penetrate into the hearts and minds of your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in the house. You shall talk of them when you walk by the way. You shall talk of them when you lie down. You shall talk of them when you rise up. That is, you shall talk of them all the time. The law of personal control. How do you make the word enter into the heart so that it becomes a reflex to obey the word of God all the time? It's simple. It's by confessing the word continually. It's simple. Let me stop it there. Law of confession. We'll stop here. Personal control. It's not by trying. And listen, this is the advantage we have as believers. You see, sometimes people, we mix things up. I was in the radio station yesterday. We were discussing something. The guy was trying to explain something to me, one of the production people. That he said, motivational speaker. I said, hey, excuse me. I am not a motivational speaker. He said, Pastor, I know. I said, listen, I am not a motivational speaker. I did not sign up to broadcast on this station to motivate anybody. Yeah, he said, Pastor, I know. I said, good. So don't repeat that expression. I said, listen, there's a difference, a world of difference between a motivational speaker and a preacher of the word of God. The word of God can motivate. Amen? It does not make me a motivational speaker. Because there are times I condemn. It's not me. Nobody say I like to condemn people. I be like a person where they condemn. It's just the word. The word that motivates one person brings another one down. I was listening to Jeremiah chapter 1 today again in my Bible. And God was telling Jeremiah, see, this day I have commissioned you. You shall uproot and destroy and overthrow and break down. Then you shall build and plant. The same word. As he's uprooting somebody, he's planting somebody else. Look, listen. So for us, we're not trying to psych ourselves. We are affirming the things that the word has spoken. Don't forget our series, The Sayings of God. That's just it. I'm not trying to win. I'm declaring winning. I'm declaring victory because in Christ Jesus, I'm a winner. You are getting what I'm going to explain. And that's why I talk the way I talk. When I talk about the Nobel Prizes have been announced right now, all right? The one for medicine and physiology was announced yesterday. Physics was announced this Nigerian time, late this morning. It's been announced, the one for physics. The people who showed how to observe some particles that are destroying them, you know. Someone will say, Nigeria, when are we going to get all these prizes now? I said, no worry, in a short while. After we don't begin get the one for literature, we can collect the one for peace. It's very simple. Just stop Boko Haram bombing. They give you the one for peace. Amen? That's what I told somebody. I said, but in a short while. They would say, you know, the one for fixes can never come to Africa. Why not? It was like that those days. The servant of servants, they shall be. Noah said that you will never win the Nobel Prize for physics. Noah said it. But that was then. And this is what? Now. In Christ Jesus, we can win anything. We are not wishing it. It's just what is written. It's a judgment that has been written. All things have passed away. You're getting my point? And as we believe those things and begin to utter them, we are controlling our bodies. There are things that once you imbibe the word of God, you will never accept. A Nigerian who has imbibed the truth of God does not tell lies to collect visa, does not queue at an embassy gate from 3 a.m. Thank God it doesn't happen anymore. Because he thinks that salvation is somewhere. It's not pride. It's just understanding. There are things you will not be able to take. Go and listen to our series, the beginning of Laws of Moses, being a beautiful child. What am I saying? We are taking the word of God and putting them in our mouth. And when we do that, it controls our whole body. Listen, later on we'll talk about it. Our time has gone. It controls our character. Number one way to break a bad habit is to break the tongue habit. You say, hey, I'm always smoking. I don't know how I'm going to stop this smoking. This is a sin. I will die and go to hell. Don't worry. Smoking will not kill you and take you to hell. Amen? Amen. What is smoking? A bad habit. I will kill you physically, condemn you to premature grave. A liar will go to hell faster than a smoker. I hope you know that. I like to say this, like Christians wake up, when you see a Christian, Jaguda fellow, when you see a smoker, that one is not a Christian. Me, I'm a Christian. Me, thief, I collect people's money, but I'm a Christian. But he smokes, he's an unbeliever. A smoker is better than a liar. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's scripture I'm giving you. Yeah, we should tell ourselves the truth. People who buy things they can't afford, who give impression of themselves, they are liars. Amen? Any man who borrows money to buy perfume to go and visit a woman is worse than a smoker. If you don't have perfume, you don't have. Not by force. He said, give me that Gucci, I beg. Madam, please, I will pay you maybe small over the next 3 months. Why do you need it so badly? How can you be paying for it this much? He said, Madam, I want to go and visit. The pastor said we should marry. I want to go and visit. You are not only smoking, you are smoking Indian hemp. If you behave like that, you're on wee-wee. Amen? Stop it. It's bad. Some things are, you know, Christians, we turn some things upside down. A man who does that will see a man smoke and say, I'm better than him. One brother one day said that he don't like to smoke because, no, he said that he doesn't drink because he just gave his life to Christ. So he's not established, you know, just a young believer. He was giving testimony. He said, you see, I know they drink. I know they drink. Because I believe, say, God not like, that was our fellowship on campus. Because I believe, say, God not like him. He said, because I didn't smoke weed because now grass like any other one we God create. He said, no, I'm serious though. That guy's name was Shola. I'm telling you, I was there, not story. I was in there like this, we're laughing. No, the guy and all these bad campus boys, you know. Big guy like this, big, very light. You see his muscles, eh? He said, and are they hot people small? Are they hot people small? You know what that means? Okay, I was in Uniman, I know what he meant. No, the guy said, you know they drink, oh. You know they drink. Because they say, God not like him. But in they smoke him because now vegetable, and that's what he said, now vegetable like any other one, way God creates. The Lord is good. Anyway, whatever be the habit, number one place to break it is where? With the tongue. Satan said, listen, sin shall not have dominion over me. Because in Christ Jesus, I am above, I am not beneath. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Because the blood of Jesus has been shed. All things are passed away. I am not a smoker. I don't defile my body because I am a child of God. The guy is declaring it. Listen. Cigarette will see him and run. Cigarette will by itself disappear. Look, I've kept you for beyond the allotted time. Let's just stop abruptly here. We'll continue next time. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Just say to yourself in your own words, say, sin will not have any dominion over me. Sin will not have dominion over me. I am above alone, I am not beneath. The things of this earth cannot have dominion over me because in Christ Jesus, I'm a victor, I am a winner. Just give the Lord thanks for today's message. Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Cheer up, brethren.